I have with me today in the studio Kevin McGough, author and retired lawyer from Bingham Greenbaum Dahl LLP for 17 years. Since his retirement, McGough has developed a successful program to complement his book, Find Your Landing Zone, Life Beyond the Bar, published by the ABA in August 2023. The seminar is designed to motivate lawyers and other professionals to progress from thinking about what's next in life to creating a personal plan to make it happen. Kevin, to start, tell us about your legal career.
Well, my first job in the law was working for the Indiana Supreme Court Disciplinary Commission. I was a law clerk there for a couple of years, and then I stayed on as a lawyer for another year for Mr. Sheldon Bresco. He's a great boss. I left there and was in a small firm in Greenfield. And after that, I started my own practice. And ultimately, with Dick Kiefer, we shared space together. We started a law firm. That law firm grew to 10 lawyers, and we merged our law firm, which was an older iteration of the Bingham law firm, which merged again to 200 lawyers. And during that time, I did lots of criminal defense work. I did family law, but I also represented a lot of lawyers and judges in ethics issues before the disciplinary commission, or gave them prospective legal advice. And that led to a background that became interesting to the firm. Then it was Bingham Greenbaum Dahl, and I became the general counsel for that law firm in 2012 and finished my career in that role, which I was the best gig in law that I had. I really enjoyed it.
So what was your inspiration behind the book and the seminar?
I've been doing lawyer training for a long time. I with Chuck Kidd, who was a staff lawyer at the Disciplinary Commission, we developed a seminar for ICLEF long ago. And so I always liked the training aspect of the legal world. And as I was winding down, Scott King at the Indiana Continuing Legal Education Forum said, you got to put something together that talks about lawyers transitioning either into another career, into retirement, or maybe diverging in the field that they're already in. He said, you had such a strategic plan to your life where you've slowly got out of the law, started traveling more, living in France part of the year. And I laughed out loud. I said, Scott, there was nothing strategic about this. It just happened. And he said, put it to pencil and see what you think. And so I did. He and I started working on this seminar, and he said, I think you ought to think about a book. And in 2016, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do when I stopped practicing law, I went to a travel writing course in Denver and spent the weekend there. And I started writing travel stories to learn how to transition my writing from doing briefs and legal memorandum and such to another genre. And that led to taking creative writing class, which led me to meet an editor who helped me turn the pages that I had put together for Scott that were sort of a jumble into the book. And then I had the good fortune to have a meeting with Donna Goldman, who's the ABA publisher. That's her title. And she liked the manuscript, and the ABA published the book last summer. So it was pretty much happenstance how that happened, like a lot of things in life.
So how often do you hold the seminar?
I've been doing the seminar now for 3 years. It predates the book because it takes a while, as you know, to get something in print. And so over the past 3 years, I've done this seminar about four times a year for ICLEF, but I've also had a program with the American Bar Association, scheduled to speak at the Indianapolis Bar Association's Bench Bar this summer. I'm working with a group at the Indiana State Bar Association to make a presentation this summer, and hopefully some other organizations that I'm still dropping the hints to, and we'll see if that works out.
Did you ever expect that you might write a book one day?
It's one of those things that rested in the back of my head. Even when I was in college, there was a time where I was on the wait list for law school. And so I thought, well, I'll just go to get a PhD in history and teach and write. And I had an article published in an American History Illustrated magazine when I was in college. So I liked writing, but like anything else, you get, I mean, lawyers, at least certainly myself, we're writing every day. You're writing letters, you're writing briefs, memorandum. And so I was always writing. One time I thought about writing an ethics book, but I didn't have the discipline to sit down and you know, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and write for 2 hours before work. And so that project never got off the ground. So it was always in my head, and it just took a little motivation. And I have to say, the editor that I hired that helped me out was, it took about from the seed to finish about 3 years, and it could have been done faster. And there was certainly a time where Doris, my editor, would call and say, well, you know, you've got this far, why don't you finish this thing? And so it does, it's a bit more difficult than I thought it would be to write a book. And I think probably other authors maybe have different experiences, but certainly mine is that to try to make it sound right. And, you know, it's a challenge. It took a little longer, but I would, I think I'll do it again. So I'm not totally discouraged.
That's good. What has the reaction been so far to your book?
I've had a couple of conversations that were really gratifying. The one was just a couple of weeks ago, where a doctor friend of mine is retiring, and so I knew she was going to retire, and I dropped off a copy of the book with a little note inside of it at her office. Didn't hear anything from her for a couple months. She calls out of the blue and said, "Hey, would you like to go have a beer?" And I said, "Sure." So we met at a local pub and had a beer, and she brought with her my book that was all dog-eared. There's 29 exercises in the book that I designed to get lawyers to think about their talents, to think about their past, about their future, what they're good at, what they need to work on. And she filled out a lot of these exercises and said, "Look, I'm not finished with it, but I'm already feel like I'm on my feet, and some of what you've said has really resonated." And so that was very gratifying. She was taking it to Florida with her on her retirement commencement trip. And that made me be like, okay, it was worth it. And I had another friend that's sort of the same thing, where in the early days of this, when I was piloting the seminar, she let me present the seminar to her organization. And in the course of that, we talked a lot. And a couple of years later, she tells me that I said, "Well, you're not with the company anymore." And she said, "No, I made a decision in part inspired by the conversation that we had and what you were putting together for our program to take the leap." And so she left a cushy job and started on her own business. And she's doing well and hustling and enjoying it. And yeah, it's great to sell books, but it really is more about that you never know if when you write something or try to sell something, if the person that's on the receiving end appreciates it, unless they call you up or sit down. And as you know, most people, when they critique something, it's usually a one star and, you know, "I had a terrible meal," or "the bed was lumpy at the hotel, the resort stunk." So to have a positive reaction was really nice.
What, you know, kind of switching gears a little bit and kind of focusing on you, you know, what inspires you?
Well, I'm a reader. I always have a book or two going, and have found that you can read a book that has 300 pages in it, but there might be two paragraphs that I highlight on the Kindle and go back to that sink in and give me the opportunity to think. So I'd say what inspires me now is opportunity, that I have an opportunity to do what I want. And I'm inspired by others that have gone before me, that I've kind of taken a cue from them to recognize that in the end, that the difference between you and I and somebody that we think is hugely successful mostly is about the fact that they got off the couch and went to work. It wasn't that they were any smarter, certainly there's certain talents. So I'm not going to be a violin player. I'm not going to play for the Pacers, but I'm not, probably not going to be a poet or a singer either. You know, there's people that have written books. Marcel Pagnol was an inspiration to me. Marcel Pagnol was a famous French playwright. He developed film. He owned a movie studio eventually. He figured out as these mediums changed how to spring into new ones. So when he's 60-some years old, he's having lunch. He's a great storyteller, was telling stories, and the editor of Elle magazine said, I'd love if you'd put your boyhood stories that you're telling us around the lunch table to writing. So he does, and they become very popular. But he totally transformed things in his early 60s. And when I first became acquainted with Pagnol, I was about that age, and I thought, well, okay, this guy's famous and he's talented in the world of theater and such. But in the end, he was writing books, which is a change from what his day job was. And I thought, you know, I can do that too at that age. You don't necessarily have to start being a writer when you're 20. I mean, a lot of people did, but there's certainly others that were publishing, you know, well after that. And so it's in what I'm interested in doing, what I have some aptitude for, doesn't necessarily have an age requirement to it. It has an interest requirement, an enthusiasm requirement, and a get moving requirement, because it's easy when you don't have a deadline, which any trial lawyer knows. And I can't tell you how many judges, one great judge from down the block here who once said that, I'm like the lifeguard on the day that the water's cold. He said, I got to push you lawyers into the water. You know, somebody's going to trial on Monday, but it's going to happen. And if you don't make deadlines for yourself, then you'll always be standing there with your toe in the water instead of jumping in.
Kind of looking at, you know, what you mean, you have a lot of free time now that you're retired. What are some of your hobbies?
Patty, my wife and I, we just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary a couple of weeks ago. We travel a lot. We live part of the year in France, typically spring and fall, and we spend a month in Mexico just because it's cold in France and it's cold in Indianapolis. Our kids are scattered between London, Cleveland, and Indianapolis, and so travel's part of what we've enjoyed. I like to bike ride. I picked it up during COVID when we stayed in France for 9 months, and I bought a nice bike, and I ride 2 or 3 days a week when in France with these French guys that are about my age, and it's out in the country in southern France where it's warm and pretty. There's some hills that are a little challenging. And here in Indianapolis, I've got a buddy that I grew up with, and he and I take off riding. So I rode 400 miles in the month of October, which is not a lot for some people, but it's a lot for me, and I had a good time doing it.
That'd be a lot for me.
I recommend it, though. It's fun.
You know, kind of going back to your book, what do you hope people take away from it?
Well, I think three things. One is, and certainly first and foremost, is that you have the capacity to change if you want to do. And some people don't, and I get that. I have a good friend who's an 80-year-old, still trying cases around the country. I'm not interested in your book. I don't care what you're selling. But there's others, like we talked before, who say, I'd really like to do something. I'd like to slow down and do something different, or I'd like to change even what I'm doing within the law. And so I think people need to take the leap, and that takes some courage. And so you do have to build some courage to pull this off. And putting this together, I spoke with a career coach who was really helpful in explaining to me the sort of the lawyer psyche, that there are lawyers are introverts, you know, not everyone, but a lot, which is sort of interesting given what the field does. But taking the leap is key. Getting help is critical to this. And that help can come in a lot of forms. There's plenty of reading material. I'd go to the self-help section of the bookstore here in Indy. I think it's a misnomer. There's a lot of good books. Viktor Frankl's next to Dr. Phil doesn't make sense, but they're in the same, you know, catalog. And so I'd pick up a Hemingway and maybe a backpacking in Thailand book and sit them on the table and spread out the various self-help books. So if you or anybody else that came along and said, oh, Kevin's in the self-help book and what section, what's that all about? I'd be quick to say, no, I'm here picking up Hemingway. I got a friend in need and I'm kind of helping them out to hide from the reality of there's just tons of good information there. And so having the courage to take the leap and doing the research on your own and talking to people that have been down the road before. I'm a believer in the coaching. I had the luxury of the law firm that provided resources to dip our toes in coaching if we wanted to, and then you match it with your own funds. And I had a very good experience with that. Financial planning, just talking to people who've done it before to say, honestly, tell me what you think, how'd you go about it? So that you put your own plan together. And in the end, I think that it's really a function of doing it, that there's resources such as beyond the lawyer world, such as there's a man, his name is Albert Brooks. He wrote a book called From Strength to Strength. It's a short read, as is Find Your Landing Zone, which is purposely short. And I think Brooks is the same. But there's a lot of inspirational snippets in that book that I found meaningful. Matt Haig wrote a book called The Midnight Library. And that it's a novel, but in there, the snippet that I took away that I feel is tremendously important is that if you chose to do one thing different today, even your entire life could change. And that's the whole point of his book, and it's also the point of mine, I think, that these things happen to you unconsciously, or you have no direction, right? I mean, my dad got transferred to Indianapolis when I was 2. I had nothing to do with that, but for that, I would never have met my wife, guy ride bikes. I mean, my life would be totally different had I made some other decisions along the way to go to school and study history instead of law. Choices I made about cases that I took or didn't take. I mean, and so in the course of anybody's life, there's all these little things that are happening, sometimes perhaps not consciously, but they're out there, and those experiences that you can draw from as a young person, as you grow through whatever career that you're doing, you ended up with this huge bank of knowledge and talents and things that you like to do, that if you draw on those, you have a pretty nice life. If you sit back, though, and just say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do if I retire. I don't know that I really like what I'm doing, or I'd like to do that, but that takes a little work. You know, you end up less satisfied than you need to be just by taking the plunge.
Yeah, that's really great advice. You know, where can people find your book?
It's on Amazon. If you just type in McGoff, McGoff, Kevin, it'll lead you to the book, and the ABA has it on their website, and I think Barnes and Noble, it's in the bookstore. It's not in the store, but it's on their online. You can purchase it.
Yeah.
Target too.
Is it online and in print as well?
It is. It's not an audio, but it's certainly an online book, and also it's a print book.
Gotcha. Well, that's awesome. All righty. Is there anything else that you kind of wanted to talk about that I didn't think to ask you?
The ABA has made a discount code available that the Indiana lawyer will give you access to, and if you type in the code, then you can get a 20% discount on the book. And if you like it, it'd be great if you gave it a review on Amazon. If you didn't, give me a call so that we can talk. I'd really like to know how to make it better.
Are we going to see a second book from you?
I think so. I've been encouraged by various non-lawyers who have looked at this and said, you know, there's application here for other professional people or people who are just curious about how to make a change in their life or to retire in a graceful way. And the title leads people to think it's just a lawyer book, and it's not. I've had, like I told you the story about the doctor, but I've had other physicians. Some of my beta readers were not lawyers, and they gave me the same pitch that, you know, you could tweak this and maybe market it differently to other people. And so the opportunity is there for me, but I need to follow my own advice, right? I need to get going.
All right. Okay, that'll do for this week's interview. Kevin, thank you again for joining me today. To our listeners, head over to theindianalawyer.com to hear our past interviews. You can also find us on your favorite podcast apps. We'll talk to you soon.